This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again for this beautiful gathering that we get together for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, to learn more about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from amongst those who follow the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the followers of the greatest of men of all sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the followers of the greatest prophet and messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made us to be from the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we will continue with the different chapters of this beautiful book, which is a compilation of the different ahadiths of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, compiled by Imam An-Nawawi, who put together this book for the sake of teaching us our everyday worships, rituals, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And tonight is a very interesting topic. Tonight's topic is an interesting topic. Tonight's topic will be talking about leading a simple life and not to be too connected to the dunya, in which it's known as az-zuhd. Az-zuhd in Arabic means that your primary focus is the hereafter. You live a simple life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you live that simple life for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla, not because you are forced to, because you chose to. And you do that because you want the akhirah. Babu fadli az-zuhdi fi dunya wal hathi 'ala at-taqallul minha wa fadli al-faqr. Excellence of leading a simple life and its virtues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, إنما مثل الحياة الدنيا كما إن أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا فجعلناها حصيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يتفكرون. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is depicting and drawing for us a picture of this dunya compared to the hereafter. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us in this dunya, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for us in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it to be, Allah says about this dunya, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ حَيَاتِ الدُّنْيَا. The example of this dunya is this land, this fertile land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the showers, sends down the rain, and then the rain comes on this land. And then this land is a fertile land, starts to grow some crops, plants, seeds to the end of it. And then they become from flowers, vegetables, fruits, trees, beautiful plants. But then what happens? Sooner or later, some wind will come and take it and destroy it all. Or someone will come and eat it, whether that person that will eat it is a human being or that someone could be an animal. So it's something beautiful from the beginning, that a bit of hardship, crops, plants, vegetables, fruits, it grows, you see it there. But then one strong wind will take it all, and then the whole thing will disappear. Will destroy the whole thing. The whole thing will vanish. Or someone will come and eat it and that's it. It doesn't exist anymore. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the example of this dunya. This dunya is like something that you see as a beautiful thing, but then sooner or later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take this dunya away from you or take away from this dunya. One of the two. And a lot of the times, two of them. Allah takes the dunya away from you and then takes you from the dunya. So this dunya, what's this dunya? And when we say the word dunya, and I'm sure you know what the word dunya refers to the world that we live in. This world that we live in is called dunya. This world that we live in Arabic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as dunya. Have you ever contemplated and thought, what does dunya mean in Arabic? Every word in Arabic has a meaning. Muhammad means someone who constantly praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other names that you mention, they always have meanings. There's a root. There is a root that these names had derived from that gives a original Arabic meaning. So the word dunya derives from dani. The word dunya derives from dani. Okay, what's dani in Arabic? Means something low, or something dishonorable, or something that has very little, if not no value. Something low. So dunya derives from the word dani, which means something low. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did the Arabs refer to this world as dunya? Because this dunya is so low compared to the hereafter. Yes, we live in this dunya, we live in this world, and there's gold and silver, and there's children, and there is wealth, and there's houses, and there's fruits, and there's food, and there's pleasure, and there's leisure, and there's a lot of things that you can enjoy in this dunya. But when you want to compare this dunya to the hereafter, this dunya is so low compared to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for you in the hereafter. That's why this is, or this world is called dunya. So something, a low world compared to the primary world. A low world compared to the primary world, and the primary world that we're talking about, it's the world of the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this dunya, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, acknowledge and know that this dunya, al-hayatu dunya, the life in this dunya, the life in this world, this low world that we live in, that everyone's fighting over and everyone's killing one another over and everyone wants to do everything over, that sooner or later either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take away from you or Allah is going to take away from it. So it's bound to happen. Either one of them or two of them. And most likely a lot of the times two of them. Allah takes the dunya away from you and then takes you away from the dunya. That's why it's so low compared to the hereafter. Dunya. Allah is saying to us, اعلموا, know for a fact that this dunya that you are living in, لعب, it's only play. وَلَهُ, amusement. وَزِينَ, and just decorations, adornments. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ, and just boasting over things in front of one another. This person wants to boast over the house that this got, and this person wants to boast over the car that he's got, and this lady wants to boast over the jewelry that she's wearing, and this lady wants to boast over the dress that she's wearing. It's just about boasting and showing off in front of one another. Look what I've got, and look what I've got. Look what I bought, and look what I sold. Look what I purchased, look what I'm wearing. Look what I've got, look what I possess, look what I earn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as tafakhur. People just boast. Sometimes you buy something, not because you need it. And you know you don't need it. You buy an extra car, an extra furniture, extra house. You know that you don't need it. You know it's just going to be sitting there. It's all about just showing off. To show off in front of other people to say, you know what? I've got money. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. We like to show off. And a lot of the times we like to show off with despising the other side. So we like to show off and looking down at the other side. That I'm rich and you're poor. I'm someone and you're no one. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. It's just a competition between one another on who has more wealth and who has more children. Who has more wealth and who has more children? I've got more money than you and I've got more children than you. Obviously back then when you say al-awlad, like the more children that you have is the more backing that you've got. The less people muck around with you. It's like, you know, this person has 10 kids, 15 kids. You can't muck around with someone like him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this dunya as what? In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing it as a mirage. Just a movie. You know that movie that you know is just a movie? And you know that something's happening but at the end of the day you're not convinced because it's just a Hollywood movie? And you know people are crying or someone is dead but you say, you know what, it's just a movie. It's just, you know, film shooting and that's it. Nothing more than that. This dunya is like a movie. There's no reality to it. People just show off. People just boast about who has more wealth, who has more children, who has more this and who has more that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this dunya just a world of boasting. A world of showing off. A world of people just want to look down at others because they've got something more than the others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it as what pleases a farmer, someone works so hard in the farm, someone works so hard on their land to grow crops, to grow plants, to grow trees. And at the end of the day, what happens after all that hard work? They pick them, eat them, flush them in the toilet. That's what really happens. We're not saying that this is wrong. Allah's not saying, okay, then go and plant. No, no, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just comparing this parable. Allah is comparing the example of this dunya to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for you in the hereafter. This is the example of the dunya. You work so hard, and you put the hard yards, and you put so much effort, and you put so much time into doing something, and then just goes away. So quick. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand, the main point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand, that this dunya doesn't last. You work so hard for a dunya that's not going to last. Why don't you work for something that will last? What would last? What really lasts is the hereafter. You're working so hard for this dunya that doesn't last. Work for the everlasting akhirah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for you. If you are putting so much time and effort in this dunya, and you're putting so much time and effort into this world, might as well put that time and effort into the hereafter. And see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. Because we work so hard for this dunya, and work so hard for the wealth of this dunya, and the lands of this dunya, and the properties of this dunya. And work so hard for everything to do with this dunya. But we put minimal effort when it comes to the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a problem with you putting time and effort into this dunya. But put more time and effort for the hereafter. If you are putting time and effort for something that's not going to last, then might as well put something and put more time and effort into something that's going to last. So don't get it wrong when we talk about, and when we are referring, and when we start talking about the dunya and comparing this dunya to the hereafter, it's never intended out of this topic that, you know what, abandon this dunya, and out of tonight's topic or out of tonight's lecture, go home and resign out of your work, go and sell your house, and go and sell your furniture, and go and get a small hut, and start sleeping on the ground, and don't eat any more, mashallah, fancy food. You only go and buy a Happy Meal from McDonald's because that will only cost $5, but make sure it's halal. No. That's not the intent out of this topic. The intent is not for you to thrive in your business, no. The intent is not for you to stop becoming a successful person in your life, whether to be business or education or whatever it is. The intent is for you to have balance. So let us get things straight from the very beginning. Let us set the record straight from the very beginning. I don't want anyone to think out of tonight's topic or tonight's lecture that the intent is for you to abandon this dunya and that's it. No more work, no more making money, no more businesses, no more this, no more that. It's just about akhirah, salah, siyam and that. No, that's wrong. What Islam wants from you is that you balance your life. Be successful in your business, but be successful in your religion. Be successful in your education, but be successful with your Quran. Be successful with your properties, but be successful with attending the masajid. That's what Islam wants you to do. So there's got to be that balance. We need to strike that balance. Because a lot of the times when you talk about this topic, the very next day you find someone, mashallah, had a big business. What happened to us? Sold it, alhamdulillah. And what happened to your house? I sold it, alhamdulillah. What about your nice fancy car? Alhamdulillah, I sold it. Why? Remember the lecture that you gave, Sheikh, the other day? Allah yahdik, you really want to put the blame on me? I think you misunderstood me here. No intent was made out of that. The intention is for you to strike balance in your life. That's what we're trying to say. Because Islam wants you to be successful. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to be a successful businessman. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to be successful in your work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be successful in education, in your career. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be successful wherever you are, whatever you do. As long as you strike that balance. The issue that we've got is striking the balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, Ya ayyuha alladhina, Ya ayyuha alnas, Inna wa'da Allahi haq, Fala taghurrannakum alhayatu al-dunya, Wala yaghurrannakum billahi al-gharur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, verily the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. So do not be deceived by this life, by this dunya, and do not be deceived by the shaitan, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the shaitan is indeed your enemy. So don't be deceived by this dunya. Don't make this dunya as your primary objective. No, it's not your primary objective. You're only bypassing in this dunya. It's only a transit. Don't make it your final destination. Don't make this dunya your final destination. When you travel from here to Lebanon, you stop over one of the countries. Let's say you're traveling from Sydney to Lebanon. You have to stop in Malaysia, for example, or Dubai. Don't make Dubai or Malaysia your final destination. You still got another destination ahead of you. So don't get occupied and don't deter yourself from the final destination, which is going to your final stop. What's happening to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this dunya as a transit. We make this dunya as the final destination. That's it. We do everything that we need to do in this dunya. But this dunya is not your final destination. It's the hereafter. So you've done everything that you needed to do in this dunya, but you forgot about the hereafter. You didn't even prepare for the hereafter. This dunya is only a transit. It's only a stopover. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, it is beautiful for men, and obviously here also includes women. It is the love of things such as women, and women love men, and the love of children, the love of the gold and silver, the love of branded beautiful horses, the love of lands and crops and cattle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. These are the pleasures of this worldly life. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ مَآبُ. Okay, no problem. Is that what you love? Men love women, women love men. You love your children, you love your properties, you love your farms, you love your cattle, you love your this, you love your that. No problems. That's yours. But don't forget the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ مَآبُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not reprimanding you and Allah saying to you, you know what, abandon everything. No. No problems. Keep it. But don't forget the final destination. Always remember the akhirah. It all goes back to balance. Our biggest struggle and challenge is that we struggle to balance our lives. The first hadith here, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا الْفَقْرُ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى أَنْ تُبْسَطَ الدُّنْيَا كما بسطت على من كان قبلكم فتنافسوها كما تنافسوها فتهلككم كما أهلكتكم كما أهلكتهم. Here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he saw that the dunya is opened up to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, we all know that the very beginning of the emergence of the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the advent of the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the beginning of the da'wah of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, especially in phase of Mecca, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum encountered a lot of challenges. So much so that they didn't have a place for them to even sometimes sleep under, or a shelter for them to sleep under, or a place for them to sleep in. Or they were always persecuted and tortured and tormented until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a reason for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for them the opening of migrating from Mecca to Medina, where the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum migrated from Mecca to Medina. When they went to Medina, at the beginning it was challenging, but then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to make those openings for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, where just before the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you could say the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had control and authority over the Arabian Peninsula. Then during the time of Umar al-Khattab, the Muslims had control of the East and the West, the two greatest empires, the Persian Empire in the East and the Roman Empire in the West. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we start to see the dunya open up to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. What did he say? He said alayhi salatu wa sallam, by Allah, I don't fear poverty upon you. I'm not afraid of poverty. I'm not afraid that one day you're going to be poor. I'm not afraid that one day you're going to be begging. That's not the fear that I've got. But the fear that I've got, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue opening up the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open this world to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start opening the wealth to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start opening the rest of things to you, where you become so wealthy and rich. And then what happens? And then you start competing with one another over the dunya, where previously you're competing with one another, you were competing with one another over the akhirah. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to compete with what? Who prayed more? Who fasted more? Who gave more? That's their competition. That's their challenge. That's the race they were engaged in. They used to compete with one another over the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what happens? Later on, people start to compete. He's got a better house, he's got a better car, he's got a better horse, he's got a better cattle, he's got a better this, he's got a better that. People start to compete over the dunya. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't fear poverty upon you. I'm not afraid of poverty. I'm not afraid that one day you're going to be begging. But I'm afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to provide to you, and Allah azza will continue to give you and open the dunya to you until you reach to the level where you start competing with one another. And then you become like the previous nations before you, where they start to compete with one another over the dunya. So Allah destroyed them. In return, Allah will destroy you the way He destroyed them. Dangerous. It's a big concern here. We will start competing with one another over the dunya. And that's what's happening right now. Muslims are competing with one another. Who's got a better house? Who's got a better car? Who's got a better this? And who's got better that? Who's got more wealth? And who's got more this? And who's got more that? It's that competition. And that's why people are always striving. Who strives to say, you know what, this brother is praying, I want to pray more than him. Do you ever hear that? If you ever hear that, you're going to look at this guy and say, look at this nerd. He's lost the plot. MashaAllah, this brother prays 5 times a day at the masjid. I want to compete with this brother and pray 5 times a day in the masjid. This brother, mashaAllah, is fasting every second day. I'm going to fast more than him. I want to be like him. MashaAllah, this brother that added 1,000, I'm going to give 2,000. This brother gave 10,000, I'm going to give 20,000. There's no competition. The competition is, this guy is successful, I want to be more successful in business. This guy has a house, he's got a big house, I'm going to have a bigger house than him. He's got a nice car, I'm going to get the latest model. I'm going to have the latest watch, I'm going to have the latest this. Always that competition. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is warning us, and he's saying, be cautious, be careful, that you start competing with one another over the dunya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy the way He destroyed the previous nations before you, where they competed with one another over the dunya. And the honest truth is, yes, we do compete over the dunya. Really, that we compete over the akhirah. Who competes? We don't. On the contrary, we compare ourselves when it comes to the dunya to someone wealthy. Okay, he's got 1 million, I have to have 2 million. That's how we compare ourselves. So we always look for the pioneers, and we look for the best of people when it comes to the field of dunya. So this person is successful in the business, I want to be more successful than him. But when it comes to the akhirah, we'll go and look for someone who does the minimal. So this person, we look at him and say, oh, you know, this person goes to the masjid once a week. There's no need for me to be better than him. We'll go and look for someone who is, I don't want to say low, but someone who is not on the best of levels when it comes to the deen. Not the best of examples. So when it comes to the dunya, we always search and look for someone who is the best of example when it comes to the dunya. When it comes to the akhirah, we look at someone who is not even an example when it comes to the akhirah. Oh, you know what? He's given 1,000. We'll go and look for someone. Oh, but the other day someone gave 100. I'll give 100. The one that he compared to the one that gave 1,000. Oh, you know that brother prays 5 times a day. But you know, there's another brother, the brother just gave salat to Jummah. I'll become like him. But when it comes to the dunya, when it comes to this life, when it comes to this world, we compete with one another. And we're more than happy to put whatever it takes for us to win that challenge and race. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to challenge. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to challenge. But what challenge did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, compete and race with one another. Allah wants us to race. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to race with me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to race with you, and Allah azza wa jalla wants us all to race with one another. But what race is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to race with one another to the akhirah. Compete with one another. To who? Acquires the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acquires the highest level of Jannah. That's the race that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to race. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, race with one another to the forgiveness of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, and to the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared, which is the width of the Jannah, more wider than the heavens to the earth. That's the type of race that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to undertake. But unfortunately, it doesn't exist in our lives. The race that we really have, who has a better car, who has a better house, who has more money, who has more successful business to the end of it. Who sells more, who buys more to the end of it. That's the race that we're all indulging in. That's the race that we're all embedded in. Which again, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. Race when it comes to the dunya. Race when it comes to making money. Race when it comes to building houses. Race when it comes to having better cars. But before that race, there's another race that you had forgotten. The first race that you should be racing to is the pleasure of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah and the Jannah. And then you undertake the second sport. The second race. And the second race that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to undertake, it is that race that you race in this dunya. No problems. Make money. InshaAllah, you become the wealthiest of people that we know. Be the best in your business. Be the best in your career. Be the best in your education. Be the best wherever you are. Allah wants you to be the best. But before that, you have to be the best in your deen too. As concerned as you are when it comes to your dunya, as serious as you are when it comes to your dunya, be serious in your religion. Why? Why are we so serious when it comes to our dunya? We're not serious when it comes to our religion. Why we take our dunya so serious, we don't take our akhirah so serious? Everything in our life is so serious except when it comes to our deen. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, we're surrounding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna mimma akhafu alaykum min ba'di ma yuftahu alaykum min zahratid dunya wa zinatiha. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that what I'm concerned about after me, the real concern that I've got after my death, is not the concern that about you being poor or the concern of poverty. The real concern that I've got after my death is the flourishment of this dunya, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up this dunya to you. You become so wealthy, you become so rich, you've got everything. You've got access to everything. Everything's available before your hands. But then what happens there? You start forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dunya becomes a form of distraction. When the dunya should be a form and a platform that gets us closer to Allah azza wa jal. And I'll tell you something, 99% of people, their dunya is a distraction. People get distracted by the dunya. That's a reality. People get distracted by the dunya. We get distracted by the money. Money distracts us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fame distracts us away from Allah azza wa jal. Beautiful houses and beautiful cars distract us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's happening? The dunya is becoming a form of distraction. When the dunya should be a form that gets us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A way that gets us close to Allah azza wa jal. That's the dunya. But unfortunately, in many, many times, and time again, where people are becoming distracted from the akhirah by the dunya. The dunya is becoming a distraction. And it's happening, subhanAllah. A lot of the times you see brothers, the mashallah, they are very steadfast. They are always frequent comers to the masjid, always attending the masjid, always attending the lessons. But the moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to open the dunya to them, their business becomes flourished and thriving and prosper, what happens to this person stops coming to the masjid? SubhanAllah, what happened here? You should be more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jalla had given you. Not that you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should be more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jalla had opened the dunya to you. Because at the end of the day, you were poor, Allah made you rich. You were weak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you strong. You had nothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you everything. So this is the time they should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the time they walk away from Allah azza wa jalla. And my brothers and my sisters, I know, and I want you to remember this. Poverty is a test. When you're poor, it's a test. It's not an easy test. I'm telling you, poverty is a test. When you don't have food on the table, you don't have money to pay rent, or money to pay the electricity and so on and the bills, it's a test. I'm telling you, it's a test. And it's not an easy test. When you're encountering this challenge of you being poor, or not having enough income for you to pay your bills, or pay your rent, or bring food to the house, it is a test. I'm telling you, it is a test. But you know what? Listen carefully. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you wealth, that's a bigger test than the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested you through poverty. That's agreed upon amongst the scholars. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something away from you, like Allah took away from you, wealth. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away from you, health. That's a test. I'm telling you, it is a test. You can't deny the fact that I've got no money for me to pay my bills and rent, and I've got no money for me to bring food to the table, and I've got no money for me to buy new clothes to the end of it. That's a test. But I'm telling you, my brother and my sister, especially the rich ones, those who are well off and those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given wealth. When Allah gives you wealth, that's a bigger test than the poverty than you had experienced. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you wealth, that's a bigger test than the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested you through poverty. Why? Because when Allah gives you, Allah gives you to see what you're going to do. When Allah gives you, Allah gives you to see what you're going to do. A man comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This man used to pray 5 daily prayers in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single day. 5 times a day. Whenever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give salam, salam alaykum rahmatullah, salam alaykum rahmatullah, this companion is always there. Maybe the first row or line. So one day this man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He felt the pressure of poverty. He felt it. And you know it is. It is a big pressure when you're poor. It's not easy. And you know what? I've experienced a bit of it, but nowhere near what others are experiencing that. When I was overseas, as a student, not much income, I felt a bit of it. But that's nowhere near the reality of it. At the end of the day, one phone call will see something happening. Something will rain from somewhere. But you've got people, no phone call, no internet, no connections, no network. They're going to sleep that night starving. And the following night starving. So they're going to be stressed during the day and starving during the night. So when we say, wallah, here in Australia we've experienced poverty, maybe the surface of it, heka, a smell of it. But the reality of it, I guess some will also see poverty. Those who don't even have a dollar in their pocket, and they, day after day and after day, they've got not even a dollar for them to even buy a bag of bread, not even a loaf of bread. So this companion comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he thought about it, you know what? يخرب بيت الفقر, as they say. I'm sick and tired of poverty. And he felt the pressure of poverty. So he thought about it. What more And what better can I ask for to get to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him to ask Allah azza wa jal to open the doors and the gate of rizq to me? Say what? To who? To Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one that has the golden key to the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks Allah, Allah azza wa jal is going to respond back to him. You can't ask for anything better than that. Like, you know, this is your ticket. This is your ticket. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that you ask the Prophet alayhi sallam, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla respond back to him. So he did. He went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said to him, my messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make me rich. Good one. Ask Allah azza wa jalla to make me rich. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of rizq to me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks at him and says, but I'm concerned if I do and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts my dua, and you know Allah azza wa jalla will accept my dua, I'm concerned that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors of rizq to you and you become rich, we're not going to see you anymore. He said, no. Typical one, you know. La inshallah, ya Rab, give me rizq so I could give for your sake. Ya Allah, make me wealthy so I could donate for your sake. Ya Allah, this. That's the initial. That's the original intention always. Ya Allah, make me wealthy so I could give back into your religion. This companion is like everyone else. Always say, ya Allah, make me wealthy so I could give back to your religion. Maybe I'll pass or maybe I'll fail. I can't be assertive and to say, you know what, certainly I'm going to pass. No. And this is a companion, huh? This is a companion. Who was he led by? Not some typical imam here, a Patsta or Greenacre or Lagemba. He's led by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is living during the time and era of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he can't get anything more spiritual and more motivational than this time and moment. Or messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make me wealthy. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but I'm concerned. I fear that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does make you wealthy, we're not going to see you anymore. He said, no, messenger. I guarantee you, I assure you that inshallah, if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me wealthy, I'll be more in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll be more active in the deen of Allah azza wa jal. I'll be more devout in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to use the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant me back to his religion. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that if he asks Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never reject his dua, he raises his hands and he said, oh Allah, give this man wealth. What happened? Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this man from being so poor, from a valley of cattle, a valley of sheep, a valley of camels, a valley of cows, a valley of goats, Allahu Akbar, this man is becoming a millionaire. He was so poor, he didn't even have money to even buy a loaf of bread. Now he's becoming a multi-millionaire. One of the most wealthiest companions. And now the test comes. The big test is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors and gates of provision. What happened? Distraction. From five prayers, dropped to four. From four to three. Three to two. Two to one. One to none. Allahu Akbar. See the distraction? If it was wrong, or if it was a taboo, or if it was evil or unacceptable for him to become wealthy, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will never ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this man wealthy. It's something recommended, it's something commendable that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to be wealthy, but it's how you deal with it. It's how you go about it. If it was wrong, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would not even ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this man wealthy. But the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one that asked Allah Azza wa Jalla to make this man wealthy. Which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be successful in your wealth. Allah wants you to be successful in your health. Allah wants you to be successful in your life. So here the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he accepted and he made dua for this man to be wealthy. So Allah made him wealthy. But then, distraction. When it should be the opposite. This man should be more closer to Allah. You were poor, Allah made you rich. Now you should be more thankful to Allah. Thankful in which way? You pray more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thankful in which way? You give more to Allah azza wa jalla. Thankful in which way? You become more devout in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the prayers start to drop. 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 1 to none. And then, when it's time for zakat, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to have the zakat collectors. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to send zakat collectors to all those wealthy people. They will calculate, evaluate their wealth, and then they'll say, okay, you've got this amount of money, they have to pay zakat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one of the zakat collectors to this companion. Which one? The one that came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a true story for your information. It's not like something I dreamt about it yesterday and I'm relating it to you tonight. No. Nabi Sallallahu sent one of the zakat collectors to go and collect zakat from this man. When the zakat collector, who is the messenger of Allah, Rasulullah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he arrived to this man, he told him, I'm here to collect your zakat. Let me calculate it, evaluate it, and I'll tell you how much is zakat. So what was his response? He said, no way! I'm not a kafir. This is jizya. You know the tax that you impose upon the non-believers if they live under the protection of Islam and Muslims? He said, this is not zakat, this is a jizya. This is tax. And no one has any rights to take any tax from me. So get out of here. Get lost. Subhanallah. What happened to the commitment that you gave to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prior to you becoming wealthy? And that time when he came to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam for his dua, and because of the dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are wealthy. You were poor. You were poor. Al-hadide. Al-khashabika man. You had nothing. And because of the dua of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he became rich. The dua that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala does not reject, now he became rich. And not only he became distracted from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the one that made you wealthy after you were poor, and now it's time for zakat, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sends, or the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends his zakat collector to collect the zakat from you, and he said this is jizya? Okay. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala reveals a verse speaking about him. Some people, when they want something, and then they ask us first, we'll give it to them. And then when it comes to implementing what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wants them to implement, they become on edge. They're on an edge. They don't want to act upon it. So when he heard that verse, he knew that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is referring to him. He came with his zakat to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rejected it. Do you think we need your money? You think we need your money? When Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala imposes that 2.5% zakat on you, do you think Allah needs your money? You. The one that's got $10,000, $100,000, $1 million. Do you think Allah needs your money? When Allah tells you to give 2.5% a year for the sake of Allah, and it's obligatory upon him to give 2.5%, you think for 1 second Allah Azza wa Jalla needs your money? If that's what you think, you thought wrong. So this companion is running to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, oh Messenger of Allah, take my zakat. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take it back. After Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala reprimanded you in the Qur'an al-Kareem, now you want to come and give it? Did you forget where you came from? Where you were? Did you forget your background? Now, after Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had exposed you, now you want to come bring your zakat? Take it back. Khuda. How shameful is that? Wallahi. I'm just thinking about it. Subhanallah, just, you know, shivers my body. Imagine you are one person that comes to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with your zakat, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells you, take it back. Allahu Akbar. Just think about it. Wallahi, it just shakes your entire body. Subhanallah, like you are rejected. You're a reject. Allahu Akbar. And who rejected you? The Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. And the rejection of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is rejection from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What a humiliation. What a disgrace. And subhanAllah, it was a disgraceful moment for this man. And the Prophet ﷺ would refuse to accept his zakat. That's it. He tried time and time again to come and give his zakat to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ tells him, go, ruh. SubhanAllah, Allah, when I think about it, Allahu Akbar. You know, I feel like crying, even though it's got nothing to do with me. But subhanAllah, it's sad. And then again, he'll try again every year. Oh, Messenger of Allah, please take my zakat. Please take my zakat. Get out of here. We don't want your zakat. Take it back. What? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made you rich after you were poor. And then when we ask you for the zakat that you have to be paying without even anyone asking you, you say this is jizya, take it back. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never accepted his zakat. So he tried during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Oh, Abu Bakr, please take my zakat. Abu Bakr said, no way. It's not going to work, sure. Then he tried during the time of Umar Khattab. Umar Khattab told him, sure. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rejects you. You want me to accept you? Shabakshi? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rejected you. You want me to accept you? Well, if it's in my hand, I'll chop your head off. That's not narrated, that's from my own, huh? Just to be... But Umar ibn Khattab told him, the Prophet rejected you, you want me to accept you? Then during the time of Uthman, when Uthman was a Khalifa, he came to Uthman, and Uthman saw some signs of sincerity and repentance, so Uthman accepted it. SubhanAllah, imagine, maybe this man lived for about 20 years of distress. But ikhwani, that's what happens. We're poor, Allah makes us rich. So we turn our back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that made us rich. We are ill, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us healthy. So we turn our back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we become healthy. How many times I visit brothers in hospital? Wallahi, they're bedridden. And subhanAllah, a miracle that Allah Azza wa Jalla makes happen. This person, mashallah, is like a healthy horse running around. And during that time, oh, I just love to read the Quran. I just love to make praise, this and that. And you could see sincerity on their face, repentance. But then subhanAllah, when they get up and they're healthy, that's it, they go back to the old habits. As if they didn't even experience something like that. Did you forget? Did you forget where you were and where you are now? Faikhwani, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something from you, it's a test. But when Allah gives you, it's a bigger test. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you wealth, that's a test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you health, that's a test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you good reputation, that's also a test. When Allah Azza wa Jalla making your business successful, that's also a test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you healthy kids, that's also a test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a good righteous wife, that's also a test. And for a sister, when Allah gives you a righteous husband, that's also a test. لِيَنْظُرَ مَاذَا تَفْعَلُونَ As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see, what do you do? How do you react? What do you do and how do you react? Are you going to be appreciative? Are you going to be grateful? Or you're going to turn your back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, you know what, this is from my own sweat. Have you heard of Qarun? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Fir'aun, He speaks about Fir'aun and Qarun. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you'll be in the hellfire with Qarun and Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Qarun in the Quran al-Kareem that he was so wealthy, extremely wealthy, that he needed a gang of people to say, he needed, some of the scholars say, about 40 men just to carry the keys to his safes. To his treasure, to his treasury. He needed a gang of men. He needed a gang of men to carry the keys to his safes and treasure. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to him and he said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِلْمٍ I acquired all this wealth from my own knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the ground from beneath him and swallowed him. Straight away, in his own home. With all his wealth, with all his guards, with all his servants and maids and all the wealth and the palaces and the gold and this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the ground just right beneath his feet, swallowed him, bye-bye. You know Qarun? His story is mentioned in the Quran al-Karim, Surah Al-Qasas. Before he was wealthy, he was from amongst the most righteous people on the face of this earth. So righteous that people used to mention him as an example. Become like Qarun. Become like the righteousness of Qarun. Become righteous like Qarun. Become honest like Qarun. Become respectful like Qarun. So Allah tested him. What happened? What happened? What happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with the wealth? He became a disbeliever. Subhanallah. Wealth can be a ni'mah, a gift. And also, wealth can be a niqmah, a big test. That's why my brother and my sister, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you wealth, is it distracting you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or attracting you to Allah azza wa jal? Is it getting you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is it distancing you away from Allah azza wa jal? I'll give you an example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray the night. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray the night. How long? Not 2 rak'at, yani, ihna wallah, before Fajr, about 20 minutes, we get up, pray 2 rak'at. Ushu, alhamdulillah. Adan qiyam today, alhamdulillah. And then you boast, you take a selfie and you put it on Facebook, today, alhamdulillah, adan 2 rak'at qiyam. So proud of yourself, mashallah, that you prayed qiyam. No. The qiyam of the Prophet Muhammad is different to yours. Something that you've never experienced, and I don't believe you ever experienced it. The qiyam of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was to the extent that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ would continue standing until his legs would start shivering. From a long standing. Have you ever experienced something like that? I'm telling you, never. We're talking about like 2-3 hours standing in one rak'ah until the legs start to shiver. So Aisha tells the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, why do you burden yourself when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already guaranteed you forgiveness? And that's the greatest gift, of course. Nothing can buy forgiveness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ with forgiveness. O Messenger of Allah, why do you burden yourself with such burden that you continue standing the night, every single night, until your legs get swollen, until your legs start to shiver? Like, we're talking hours and hours of standing. O Messenger of Allah, why do you burden yourself when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already forgiven your past sins and the future? So what did the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ reply? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if that's the case, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already forgiven my sins, the past and the future, then, afala akunu abdan shakura, then I should be a thankful servant to Allah Azza wa Jal. If that's what Allah had given me, then I should thank Allah more. Allah didn't forgive me just because, wallahi, if He gave me, if Allah had forgiven me, that means I need to show Allah Azza wa Jal a sign of gratitude and appreciation. Imagine, that Jibreel comes down to you and says, look, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ahmad, Ya Husam, Ya Shadi, Allah had forgiven your sins. The good news came from Allah Azza wa Jalla to you, Allah had forgiven you. I guarantee you the next day, Fajr, you're not even going to get up. Alhamdulillah, I'm going to relax. Alhamdulillah. If we get guarantees that Allah had forgiven us, we'll probably stop praying, come on. That's how weak we are. And sometimes that's how corrupt our mentality is. Look what happened in Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we got forgiven. After Ramadan, everyone, subhanAllah, what happens here? Everyone disappears. Alhamdulillah, we got forgiven in the month of Ramadan. What are you talking about? If Allah had forgiven you, that means you need to be more appreciative to Allah Azza wa Jal. You need to be more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Not distance yourself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time where you get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah had given you something, you should thank Him. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened up the gates of His forgiveness or His wealth to you, you should be more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not walk away from Allah Azza wa Jal. Is that how it works? That someone gives you a gift and every time he gives you a gift, you spit in their face? So every time I give you a gift, you stop calling me. And next time I give you a gift, you walk away from me. Next time I'm going to give you a gift, you're going to walk all over me. You know what? It's tough, you had the gift. I'm not going to give you anything anymore. Yeah, and not only that, all the gifts I had given you, give it back to me. That's how it's going to work. Faikhwani, are we being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all the good things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had been given us? Or we turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why, my brothers and my sisters, is your worth an attraction to Allah or distraction away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is your worth getting close to Allah azza wa jal or distancing away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I'm not afraid from poverty. I don't fear poverty upon you. I fear that one day you become so wealthy, you become so rich, that you become so distracted away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, more on this topic next week. Inshallah, we'll continue with this topic, inshallah, and more on the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he talks about poverty and living a simple life, bi'idhni Allah ta'ala. السابقون